traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Want him in prison, and this is what we need to understand.
So true.
David Brock and some of these organizations have already raised tens of millions of dollars for an impeachment process. Then they want jail to the chief. They need to understand that this is a war. We are so far beyond normal politics, Sean. We are in a very dangerous moment. And while President Trump is a very strong leader and a man of strong constitution, he was able to survive all of this during the campaign and get elected president. When you're president and you are faced with the kind of monolithic opposition you were talking about, plus a federal bureaucracy that is completely out to undermine him every day, the intelligence community that is engaged in some of this as well that we have heard, I hope to God that he is strong enough to withstand this. They are out to destroy him, because if he succeeds, the country changes for the good, and they must not allow that to happen.
Hey guys, I'm Monica Crowley, and this is the Monica Crowley Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me as we begin to close out yet another week. This is your go-to for hot liberty, a safe space for all of us thought criminals, independent thinkers, and happy warriors. On the socials, on Instagram, I am at Monica Crowley _, and on Twitter and True Social, I am at Monica Crowley. Also by email, I can be reached at monicacrowleypodcast@gmail.com. Okay, coming up later today on the program, we are going to be joined by U.S. Senator from Alabama, Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's going to rejoin us once again. You know, he has been leading the charge to protect women and girls, girls especially, and girls' sports especially, but trying to protect them in their what should be safe spaces, like locker rooms, like bathrooms, and also competitions. Competitions for girls should be safe spaces. They should be permitted to be able to compete against each other without having a dude walk into the middle of the competition and throw it all out of whack, win it, deny them the win, deny them the scholarships, deny them the glory of what they've been working for really their entire lives as they're training in a sport. Tommy Tuberville is a legend in the sports world, a legend on the football field himself, a legend in coaching. Now he's in the U.S. Senate, and he has been leading the charge on this. His voice on this is so important. He's been leading this since he got to the Senate, and now Joe Biden comes in and basically reverses Title IX, which Richard Nixon signed into law, 40, 50 years ago, to protect girls and give them a clear and fair field on which to compete. It all came out of the feminist revolution, and now where are the feminists? Nowhere. We're going to talk to Tommy Tuberville about all of this and what else he might be able to do. He has been fighting the good fight. He has been introducing bills. He's been introducing amendments. And because we are in the minority in the Senate, Chuck Schumer and the Democrats literally kill everything to protect women and girls that Tuberville has been trying to do. So we're going to talk to him about that. We'll get his reaction to our campuses being aflame, the revolution that is rolling in this country. We're going to talk to him about a bunch of stuff. So sit tight for that. Next week, we're working on some big stuff as well, so please join us next week, including Benny Johnson. Benny Johnson is going to join us one day next week, and I cannot wait. That is going to be huge, important, and really fun conversation. I just did his show a couple of weeks ago. Super, super fun. He's an amazing guy. So that is going to be coming up next week. All right, first up today, the Monica Memo. Follow the money. So, of course, we've got this rolling revolution. And by the way, if you have not heard Tuesday's show this week, please go back and listen to it. I delivered a rant for the ages on this, this rolling Marxist revolution. I give you the history of this. I talk about the history of pretty much every modern and ancient revolution going back to Roman times, and certainly the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution. I put it all into context so that you understand what you are seeing and experiencing in America today. Tuesday's show was a classic Monica Crowley podcast, and if you have time this weekend, you got a couple of days, please go and listen to that show. I recommend it so highly. It is one of the most important shows that I've ever done. And I threw out the monologue that I had prepared and I just riffed because I have been at this for so long and now it is at a tipping point. It's almost like my life's work studying these kinds of revolutions and studying what the internal Marxist revolution that I've been trying to warn people about for so, so long. It's all coming to a head. We're at a real tipping point in this country, so please go back and listen to Tuesday's show if you haven't. Picking up here today, follow the money. So we have these ongoing revolts happening all across the country on the college campuses. As I've previously stated, the revolutions never stay contained to the campuses. This is Maoist. Again, Tuesday's show, I talk all about this. It is Maoist where they mobilize and weaponize useful idiots of college students. And, you know, I've been using the word kids, my mistake. These are adults. They are all over the age of 18. They're adults, okay? So these college students, this is how the Marxists always operate. They mobilize and weaponize useful idiots who are students. And remember, college campuses are microcosms of the broader society, but they're very, very concentrated. I don't know if you went to college or not. I don't know what kind of college you went to, if you did attend, but most colleges, even if they are in big cities, are very concentrated. The students live there. They take their classes there. They take their meals there. Their friends are there. Their friends become their community. In some cases, their friends become their family. It is a very concentrated environment. And that's what makes it so ripe for the seeds of a revolution. Let me say that again. Because it is a very concentrated environment, mostly dominated by two forces, radicals in the faculty, and then useful idiots of college students who may be adults, but they clearly don't know any better. The vast majority have never really paid federal income taxes, right? So what do they know about the world? They're still very malleable. So you've got those two elements put together in a very concentrated environment. Therefore, the seeds are ripe for revolution. Notice how none of these revolutions start in the countryside because everything is dispersed. A university or a college is pretty much a self-contained environment, which makes it explosive for this kind of action. These are direct actions, and direct action is a communist phrase, direct action. Those kinds of environments are ripe. All you need is a match and boom, it explodes. Then the next step of the revolution is to export out of the contained, volatile, concentrated environment of a university or college campus to the broader community, so into cities. And in fact, New York City right now is issuing warnings about the radicalization of the entire city. Cities have multiple universities in most cases. Boston, you got Harvard, Boston College, Boston University, MIT. You got a ton of colleges in Boston. New York, same thing. Columbia, NYU, there are a ton in most big metropolitan areas. So this is what the revolutionaries do. They begin it with the concentrated environment of the university. Then it spills out into the broader concentrated environment of a city. And then it's exported to the suburbs, where it gets a little bit more dispersed, but then to the broader country. You saw this with Antifa and Black Lives Matter in 2024. It started in the concentrated area of where George Floyd died, and then it exploded, and universities were aflame, cities were aflame. It's the usual 1-2-3 step, straight out of the Maoist playbook. So this is what you're seeing unfold now. You had Columbia University light the match, and then, of course, it went everywhere. And overnight, UCLA in California had an even bigger protest than what you saw at Columbia, and the university had to call in the riot police. So the riot police, first of all, UCLA, just like all of these university administrations, UCLA tried to negotiate with the domestic terrorists. And there's footage of this. You can see it on social media. One of the deans goes to the encampment, sits down cross-legged like it's 1969, peace man, and tries to make peace with the domestic terrorists. I mean, I'm literally throwing up my hands right now. Tries to have a conversation with them, tries to negotiate their exit from the university. And the domestic terrorists, as terrorists do, scream and yell in his face. They want no part of it. They're all in the keffiyeh, the Palestinian war scarf, and they've got the COVID masks on, not because they're afraid of COVID, but they don't really want to be identified. So you have this dynamic where the administrators are so weak. And weakness, of course, comes from the top. And I don't just mean the top of the universities. All of these university presidents are weak. But it comes from the top of the country, meaning Joe Biden, who has still not released a statement about what is happening on these college campuses. They put out a sort of weak kind of statement condemning anti-Semitism, but it's like this ambiguous statement that costs them nothing to condemn anti-Semitism, right? Because anti-Semitism is so fundamentally evil that it's relatively easy to put out a statement. I mean, I think even members of the Hamas caucus, AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, they've put out like statements like, oh, nobody condones anti-Semitism. They don't mean it, of course. But it costs them nothing to put out a statement like that. And Biden, too. But he has not been anywhere with a forceful statement from the Oval or from the press briefing room condemning what is actually going on, this revolutionary activity on these college campuses. Why? Because, of course, he's part of it. Sorry, hard truth. He's part of it. His administration is stoking this. It's all part of the same revolution, as I've been saying, and it is to advance their agenda, but it's also to stop Donald Trump and the America First movement. It's no coincidence that this is happening during an election year, guys. Come on. Where's the virus? I'm sure that's coming too. This is all a setup. Notice that Antifa, which is now part of many of these West Coast revolutionary moves on these campuses, including UCLA, and now it's spreading up the West Coast. Antifa is now on the scene. Jason Rantz, our friend who's been on this show before, he's out of Seattle. He is so on top of Antifa. I think he wrote a whole book about it. And he is saying, yep, Antifa now has infiltrated this. Actually, Antifa, it's all the same. And we're going to get to this in a second here about following the money. It's all the same. This is the same revolutionary forces are Antifa, the pro-Hamas stuff, Black Lives Matter. It's all the same Marxist stuff. But he is saying Antifa now is directly ordering these direct actions and is now in these crowds as well. So this is where we are. Okay, so going back to the original encampment here at Columbia, we got some confirmations yesterday. We got the confirmation that the criminals who seized Hamilton Hall, again named for Alexander Hamilton, our first Treasury Secretary and Founding Father, they hate all of that. They're destroying all of that. The criminals who seized Hamilton Hall at Columbia were outside agitators, not students. This comes from the NYPD. It comes from Mayor Eric Adams, who, by the way, has put out some pretty good statements. Now, is he the best mayor? Is he Rudy? No. But can you imagine if this were Marxist Bill de Blasio as mayor of New York? These terrorists would be right there in City Hall for their negotiations. So Eric Adams, as bad as he is better than, say, Bill de Blasio. It's all relative. Okay, it's all relative. But Eric Adams put out a statement when the Palestinian flag was being put up in lieu of the American flag. Eric Adams said, oh, hell no. We're taking down the Palestinian flag. There are to be no flags flown that are of any foreign countries, only the American flag, and nobody is going to tell us what to do. Okay, we'll see if that translates into more aggressive leadership from Eric Adams, but at least he said that. Okay, so when you're dealing with left-wingers, Rome was not built in a day. So Eric Adams is talking about the outside professionals behind these occupations. Also, about 300 people were arrested at Columbia University two nights ago, the majority of whom were not students. So all of this tells you the facts behind all of this and the money. So many people do not yet realize how much money and how many resources, support resources, and infrastructure these Marxist activist networks have. They are behind Black Lives Matter. They are behind Antifa. They are behind these pro-Hamas encampments. All right. And I want to deconstruct some of the money here in just a minute, because you really need to understand that none of this happens in a vacuum. None of it is organic. It's all astroturf and it requires money. The Students for Justice in Palestine, or SJP, which does not stand for Sarah Jessica Parker, it is backed by George Soros. There is another group called the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, also backed by George Soros. They're behind the majority of these protests around the country. The U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights pays community-based fellows up to $7,800 and campus-based fellows over $3,600 for 8 hours a week to terrorize campuses. Okay, so this is, none of this, again, is organic. Okay, all of this is being funded. Fox News reported that the National Students for Justice in Palestine, again, that's NSJP, a national organization affiliated with around 200 independent chapters, including Columbia, raked in a six-figure donation from a nonprofit bankrolled, wait for it, by the George Soros Network. According to Influence Watch, the group orchestrates student activism on university campuses, accuses Israel of committing genocide, and compares Palestinians to Black Americans under the Jim Crow era. This is why you've got the Hamas caucus like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib calling Jewish students pro-genocide. Okay, by the way, Ilhan Omar is now facing a censure call in Congress because she did that. We rolled this clip on Tuesday. You can go back and listen to it, where she called Jewish students pro-genocide. She could be censured in Congress. Guys, that is not enough. We have this weak leadership in the House on the GOP side. And I know we got a small majority, but we do not exercise raw power. We're afraid of raw power. Our side just runs from it. So afraid of what the New York Times might say. So afraid of a social media mob. They don't want to stand up. This woman, Ilhan Omar, after calling Jewish students pro-genocide, she should not just be censured. She should be expelled from Congress. The entire Hamas caucus should be expelled from Congress. But of course, our side won't. We're only expelling people on our side like George Santos for nothing. But actual terrorists from the Muslim Brotherhood, still sitting in Congress, no problem. Maybe we'll give them a little censure, a little slap on the wrist. This is such BS, guys. Anyway, Fox News reporting, in addition to Columbia University, the Students for Justice in Palestine has been protesting and setting up encampments at other universities around the country, including UCLA and USC in California, and at the University of Texas in Austin, where over 50 people were arrested this week. The University of Texas said earlier this week that 45 of the 79 people arrested on the school's Austin campus this week had, quote, no affiliation with the UT Austin University system. They said these numbers validate our concern that much of the disruption on campus over the past week has been orchestrated by people from outside the university, including groups with ties to escalating protests at other universities around the country. Yes. The New York Post also reported that police have arrested more than 1,000 demonstrators across more than 25 U.S. campuses. So arrests are happening everywhere. Riot police at UCLA overnight did the same thing. According to Fox, quote, another group active at Columbia, the Jewish Voice for Peace, how do you like that Orwellian name, has brought in at least $650,000 from Soros-linked groups since 2016. Jewish Voice for Peace has also taken in hundreds of thousands from the billionaire-fueled Rockefeller Fund, which is boosted by millions of dollars from a dark money funding network. Another Soros-backed group, the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, again, all Orwellian named to cover up their true mission, has paid what it calls fellows, as I mentioned, to organize and attend anti-Israel protests around the country. So George Soros is behind so much of this. So is the Chinese Communist Party. There's been indications that the CCP is funding a lot of this, and other enemies of the United States with deep pockets, the Iranians and other Muslim groups around. And it's all with the idea, the ultimate objective, to destroy the country, but you have to destabilize the society before you do that. I want to get to one other final point here on the destabilization of the country, but you got to hear this. I mentioned the UCLA terrorist encampment. So Bill Malusian of Fox News, who has been extraordinary on the wide open border, the illegal immigration tsunami, the illegal invasion of this country, but he was reporting yesterday, Fox News has obtained a Google document with a list of needs that the protesters at the UCLA camp are requesting. Okay, are you ready for this? Okay, I'm not making this up. This tells you this is an orchestrated revolution. So this is the UCLA Palestine Solidarity Group, okay, all funded by all of our enemies, including Soros. This is what the protesters said that they needed. It says needs. This is the actual document. Needs. Please ensure the donations are BDS compliant, boycott, divest, sanction Israel. They want all of the items to be like organically BDS, anti-Israeli. And then they say the boycott app can help with this. So they actually have an app telling you what kind of items are BDS compliant. Urgent. These are the urgent needs they list. Headlamps. Airsoft goggles, gas masks, and respirators. I guess they're really worried about pepper spray and so on. Skater helmets, shields, wood for barrier. They actually constructed a wooden wall to block out police and other law enforcement. A wooden wall. So I guess they agree that walls work. They want knee and elbow pads. What's that for? Sounds like more than protesting is going on in these encampments. They want rain ponchos, canopies, utility gloves of various sizes, especially for small hands. Super bright flashlights with strobe, and they want the flashlights charged. They want umbrellas. For medical, they want EpiPens, non-steroid inhalers, headlamps, and organizational bins. Here are their demands for food. Hot food for lunch, followed by 3 exclamation points, and then the word important, followed by 2 exclamation points, all in caps. Hot food for lunch, important! They want vegan food, because revolutionaries are vegans now. They want gluten-free food. They want ice And then no packaged food, no coffee, no bagels. I guess bagels are too Jewish. No bananas, no nuts. Oh, they don't want anybody having an allergic reaction, I guess, in the encampment. Fill out this form if you are interested in coordinating a meal. Then they write, logistics. They need sleeping bags. They need AA, AAA, C, and D batteries. They need rope. They need zip ties. Again, much more is going on here than a peaceful protest of Israel. They need electric solar-powered generators. Oh, so they're going for electric. Oh, I thought they were opposed to fossil fuels. They need lotion. They said they need Aquaphor. And then they make a point of saying no sunscreen. So they need moisturizer, but no sunscreen. I don't know what their opposition to sunscreen is all about, but this is their list of demands. So it tells you exactly what is going on here. These are modern revolutionaries who also like to keep their iPhones charged. Meanwhile, all of the money for these supplies coming from Soros. Soros is an international terrorist who is responsible for most, if not all, of these invasive attacks on American colleges and universities. There was another report by Marina Medvin on Twitter, and also Tony Saruga, who also reported this as well. You can go check it out on X. You know this story, and this has been more broadly reported, especially by Bill Malusian at Fox News, about how Biden and Mayorkas and DHS are flying in hundreds of thousands of illegals. They don't even have to make it to the border. They're physically being flown in from their point of origin into the country, directly into America's cities, and resettled there. So they don't even have to go through the border schlep and the border process and being apprehended by Border Patrol, etc. They don't have to do any of that. The Biden administration is making it super easy. Just get on a plane from point of origin and be flown right into Fort Lauderdale. This report shows that between January and August of 2023, approximately 200,000 illegals came into the country through the parole program, with a staggering 80% of them, totaling 161,000 plus illegals, coming to Florida cities, including Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and Tampa. This is according to DHS data subpoenaed by the House Homeland Security Committee. I mean, this is unbelievable. So then the breakdown of the cities, the top 15 cities the illegals flew into by DHS, they got air illegals going. And this is the numbers during this 8-month window. Miami got over 91,000. Fort Lauderdale got over 60,000 illegals. New York City got over 14,000 illegals this way. Houston, Texas, almost 8,000. Orlando, over 6,000. LA, over 3,000. Tampa, over 3,000. Dallas, 2,200. San Francisco, over 2,000. Atlanta, over 1,700. Newark, New Jersey, almost 1,500. Washington, D.C., almost 1,500. Chicago got a couple of hundred, so did Las Vegas and Austin, Texas. Okay, so the number and the statistics here are completely outrageous. Biden is making our country into a landing strip for illegals, not even making them work for it anymore, okay? So we have that piece of the puzzle. And then, of course, we've had 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 million come across the border and in various other ways over the last 3.5 years. And of course, the gotaways just melt into the country. Well, there's this piece to it that connects with the revolutionary piece that we've been talking about. All of these criminal illegal invaders that we have been tracking from the caravans to the borders and then into the interior of the country. Today, over 1,000 of those devices that we have been using for those that we are tracking, okay, over 1,000 of those same devices have been identified at over 21 protests and growing across America. Let me say that again. Over 1,000 devices of illegals who crossed the border or were flown in to the country. They were tracked to 21 protests all across the country. And it includes the protests at Columbia, at NYU, at Yale, Princeton, Northeastern, Emerson College, Virginia Tech, Ohio State, Indiana University, the University of Minnesota, USC, UCLA, University of Texas at Austin. Okay, so understand that so many of these people who are being allowed in have known terrorist ties by the thousands, are linked to the drug cartels, are working for the drug cartels, you name it, Chinese nationals, I think it's upwards of 60,000 that we know about. Chinese nationals have come in across the border. At least 1,000 of them with these tracking devices are showing up at these protests. Again, not a coincidence, guys, not a coincidence. Where is the leadership? Joe Biden is sleeping. Blue state governors are hiding. Blue state mayors are cowering. So, of course, it falls to President Trump, who has not been in office for 3.5 years, but will come back in January, to lay down the law. Here is President Trump speaking to every college president. Listen.
To every college president, I say remove the encampments immediately, vanquish the radicals, and take back our campuses for all of the normal students who want a safe place from which to learn.
I mean, it falls to Trump, right, to exercise some leadership, put out a statement like this in his own voice, not through Karine Jean-Pierre or just a written statement like Biden has done. President Trump, this is leadership. This is leadership. Also, Governor DeSantis in Florida, you will notice that very little revolutionary activity going on in the state of Florida because he has put his foot down. And we're going to talk to Tommy Tuberville about this in just a second as well. But here is Governor DeSantis talking about what's going on college campuses.
We do not allow the inmates to run the asylum in the state of Florida. And if you can't abide by the rules that we have in place for conduct, then we will show you the door and you will be expelled. It is that simple. That's what we're going to do.
The inmates are running the asylum because that's what the Marxist revolutionaries want. But thank God for President Trump and strong red state governors like DeSantis putting their feet down saying, not on my watch. Oh, hell no. Hell no. But you will notice that the Biden administration is trying to get around DeSantis by flying in these illegals, the top, what, couple of cities here, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and Tampa, right near the top of this list of getting these illegal aliens. So they're saying, you know what, screw you, DeSantis, we're going to get around you by flying in tens of thousands, well over 100,000 illegals into Florida. And now it's your problem. Let's see what you're going to do about it. Marxists always have a way around the system until they become the system, until they are the system. And that's what they're working for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right now, you can see it right in front of your eyes, but it's also been happening for decades. And this is why now we are where we are in a state of emergency. All right, let's hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama about all of this, plus him leading the charge to protect women and girls in sports and broader society. Sit tight. Okay, guys, listen up. Thanks to out-of-control government spending, higher taxes, crushing regulations, and global instability, the economy is in rough shape, and it could get worse. Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like it did in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. There are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold is one of them, which is why it's been the go-to safe harbor forever. Gold has long stood up as a valued form of money. It's why people are flocking to it now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold. And the best part? It doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Incredible. To learn more, just text Monica to 989-898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Given all of the economic uncertainty out there, can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? If not, call the people I trust. Birch Gold. I personally know Philip Patrick and the good people over at Birch Gold. They will take great care of you. Text Monica to 989-898 and secure your savings today. Well, it's an absolute pleasure to have back with us today a football coaching legend, an American patriot, and U.S. Senator from the great state of Alabama, Senator Tommy Tuberville. You can find him on social media on X at Sen Tuberville, also on Instagram at Sen Tuberville, and you should be following him everywhere because he's an extraordinary leader in extraordinary times. Coach, it's so good to have you back.
Thank you, Monica. It's great to be here. I wish it was in better circumstances. Unfortunately, we have so many new problems that have popped up since you and I last talked, but you know, you get that out of an administration that, number one, there's no leadership whatsoever. We're not going by the Constitution, and it's just a transition to a Marxist attitude all across the country.
Yeah, and it's been going on for a very long time, but the puppet presidency that we now have is really pushing us over the edge, and that's why we're so grateful for your leadership. You know, I said to you before we came to air, we need more normal people in Congress on Capitol Hill fighting this kind of stuff, and you're an exceptional leader, both on the gridiron, coaching, and now in the Senate, but you also have the common touch. You know what the common man, the common American wants and needs, and that's why we need more fighters like you. All right, Coach, let's get to, there are a number of issues that I want to cover with you today because I know you're in session, but let's deal first with what is going on our college campuses. What is your reaction to seeing the Hamas protests lighting these college campuses aflame? It is, the top line issue is, of course, pro-Hamas, but at base, these things are Marxist revolutions. They are mini Marxist revolutions tied into the bigger one. What's your reaction to what we're seeing?
Well, Monica, it kind of reminds me back when I was in high school and going into college back in the late 60s and 70s with the Vietnam riots that were going on, the protests. And again, you know, First Amendment, free speech, you have the opportunity to express your opinion, but not when it affects others' lives, others' movements, property, and things of that nature, and health. You know, I got into this business because of education. I saw for the last 15 years, our education was being not educated or used towards education. It was for indoctrination. And a result of that is what we're getting now from a lot of these groups in the Northeast and maybe all across the country. All these students that are sometimes protesting when they don't even know what they're protesting against. It's just the attitude that they have been taught in a lot of these, by a lot of these professors. Now we have some very good universities. We have a lot of good professors, but when you teach things like Marxism and you teach hate, you teach a division in your classroom, and a lot of these college professors bring this on. And so, I don't mind kids protesting. I really don't. That's kind of our society. But again, as you go back to it, you know, when other people are harmed, property is harmed, you shut down universities and finals and things like that in terms of education, you affect other people's lives. That's not right. And again, this goes back to with the defund police movement over the last, two or three years, where we don't have enough policemen on campuses or in the cities. And we don't have the opportunity to break these protests up, and it just made them worse.
Is there anything like this going on in Alabama? I know in the South, we've seen this in Florida and Texas, and because of strong governors, strong leadership there, they're not brooking any kind of revolutionary activity on their campuses. Is there anything going on in your state?
There's really not, even in most of the places in the South, because as you just put the nail hit the nail on the head. Leadership. You have leadership from your governors, from your mayors, from your presidents. They step out and say, listen, if you can do whatever you want in terms of protesting, do not affect other people's lives. Do not shut down roads and streets and universities and destroy property. You start that, we're going to break you up. You're going to go to jail. Ben Sass, Senator Ben Sass, was my next door neighbor here in Russell as a senator from Nebraska. He is now the president of Florida. And he put out a basic set of rules very early at University of Florida. This is what will happen to you if you break the law. You can protest, but if you break the law, you try to shut things down, this will be your consequences. We have to have leadership, but there's no leadership like that. I listen to the president of Columbia. She has no clue what she's doing. I listen to some of these governors from New York, governors from some of these other blue states, UCLA, for instance, out in California. They have no control because they have no guidelines to educate and direct people on how they should act while they're on their property.
I know you're in session in the Senate right now, Coach. Where is Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer? I mean, he puts out a statement and then he runs away. He cowers. He's so afraid of the far left and AOC is going to primary him and everything else. So he is clearly, after a long career of being a big champion of Israel as a Jewish American, now he is essentially siding with the radical left that's burning down these universities. He puts out some sort of statement on the Senate floor the other day and then nothing, then crickets. I know you're in the minority, but is there anything else that you and the Republicans can do on the Senate side?
You're exactly right, Monica. Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, even the radical left in the House, they're nowhere to be found when there's a tough situation, other than the fact that they're going to take the side that would possibly get them the most votes. Now, they might ride the fence for a while, then they will fall to the side of, okay, how can I get reelected? It's not what's best for our country. It's not what's best for the people and the citizens of our country. It's what's best for them. And that's the reason this place is god-awful up here, mm-hmm. because nobody looks out for the American taxpayer. They don't look out for the Constitution. They don't look out for our constitutional republic. They look out for themselves so they can retain power. And so we have got to get control. We have got to get back control of the Senate and keep the House and take the presidency over, because right now it's a bunch of radicals. You know, Joe Biden's not running the White House. He's got Blinken. He's got Jake Sullivan. He's got Valerie Jarrett. They're all got their opinion, and that's fine. But we didn't elect you to do that. The elected officials should be the leadership in our country. Not ride the fence, but what's best for our country and for the people that pay the tax in this country. And that's not happening at the moment.
Well, amen to all of that. And we absolutely need a change of leadership in November, 100%. I want to switch gears to an issue that I know is near and dear to your heart. You have been on this show in prior months talking about your leadership on this issue. And this is protecting women and girls, particularly in sports, but in other areas of achievement, and also protecting sacred spaces, literal safe spaces, especially for girls, but also for women, and that means locker rooms and bathrooms and the rest, from this whole trans and broader gender agenda. You have been on top of this, particularly with regard to preserving Title IX, which my very first boss, former President Richard Nixon, signed into law in the early 1970s. Now, 40 years later, you've got Joe Biden reversing all of the gains that Richard Nixon began to put in place with Title IX to protect women and girls. I mean, I thought the Democrats were big champions of women. Apparently not. You have been on the forefront of this. Can you walk us through what the Biden administration recently did with this final Title IX rule that redefines the definition of a woman?
Well, you got it, Monica. And again, this has been 52 years since this Title IX was passed in our country. It's probably been one of the few laws that actually worked. It mm-hmm. was something that nobody really wanted to adjust. They didn't want to designate any other policies. They just want to leave it the way it was because it did so much for young girls and women in sports. It gave them the opportunity that men had. And so it put them on women on an equal playing field. But, you know, Joe Biden published these rules a couple of weeks ago, I guess. And it basically is terrible for women and girls. Absolutely terrible. And again, this was a law being transformed into rules by the Biden administration. And basically they're saying, listen, if you don't go by these rules, we're not going to give you federal funding. So they're holding women hostage. They believe, his administration believes, that anyone who identifies as a woman is a woman. In other words, we don't go by biological sex in this country anymore. If you think that you're a woman, or if you think that you're a man, no matter what you are, that's what you are. And he included protections that in this that weren't set up for biological men and women. You know, the problem that you have with this is activities in clubs and locker rooms in any kind of sport, there is no prevention of safety whatsoever. I mean, basically, they're just saying, listen, men can use women's restrooms or locker rooms. Women can use men's restrooms or locker rooms. There's no common sense to this. There's no protection. There's no safe places. And there's no real identity to go along with this. So there's no chance. There's no chance to succeed or thrive if you're a young woman or a young girl that's trying to grow up in a sport with people that you can compete against. So we have fought back on this day in and day out. But again, the Biden administration could care less. And I don't understand this other than this is an election year. You normally don't do something like this 6 or 7 months before an election. I don't know what they know or don't know, but this has got to be a huge topic going into this election. And we have got to get back to common sense and reality with this, because if not, it will absolutely ruin men and women's sports, mostly women, if we continue to allow men to dress in these locker rooms, because parents aren't going to let young girls go into these locker rooms with young boys or men. It's not going to happen.
No, I know. And I really think that this is a tipping point issue for a lot of people who may not be inherently political on other stuff. You come after their daughters, you come after their nieces, you come after their granddaughters, won't allow them to compete. Now they got to go change in their most vulnerable state, you know, naked in the shower, trying to change. And they got a boy staring them down, in many cases aroused. The entire thing is madness, but it's also part of this Maoist cultural revolution. You have been right out there. You introduced the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. Democrats killed that. You added an amendment with language similar to your initial act to one of these recent funding packages. All 51 Democrats voted to block your amendment from proceeding. So all 51 Democrats in the United States Senate have no interest whatsoever in protecting American girls and women.
And why do they do that? Is because they ride the fence and they want to get the campaign money so they can get reelected. They care nothing about right or wrong or good versus evil. They care about getting reelection in power. That's all this is about. You can't tell me that some of these women in the Senate or some men in the Senate have granddaughters or daughters, nieces or nephews that are in harm's way. You know, when I started this 3 years ago and fighting it back against this fake gender playing in these other sports, there were rapes in locker rooms. Mm-hmm. There were rapes in mm-hmm. showers. There were people that were already being molested. And so we just brought up the fact that, hey, this is starting going down the wrong rabbit hole here, and we better stop it. But the Democrats, all they've done is put fuel on the fire and said, listen, we want people to be able to be the gender that they want to say they are, and not the biological gender or sex that they were born in. And it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. If we want to have a fake gender division of sports, fine. Let's have that. You know, we have men, we have women. If we want to make another one, fine. But do not ruin the opportunities that these young girls and women have, because that's exactly what's happening. And it's going into the Olympics this year, Monica. The Olympics this year just said, listen, we are going to allow biological men to box against women in the Olympics this year. It will be a total disaster.
Oh, it's insane. USA Boxing did announce it would allow men to box against women. First of all, it's ideologically driven, but it's also very, very dangerous. I mean, we have seen this now where you've got biological boys and biological men knocking girls out in these sports, knocking them out. I mean, men and women are different. The communists don't want you to see that. They're all about destroying the nuclear family, erasing women, and the rest of it. Before we let you go, Coach, there was... recently, over the last like week or so, there was a group of middle school girls who were competing in shot put. And five of them realized that they were going to have to compete against a biological boy who was so much bigger than they were. So they made their way to the mound and then did not throw the shot put. They walked away. And now, instead of having the biological boy removed from the competition, now the school system has penalized the middle school girls and said that they cannot compete in shot put for the length of their stay in the school district. This is all completely upside down. But my final question to you here, Coach, is why is it left to these children to take the leadership role on this? And you, of course, on the Hill. But why is it more broadly left to these kids to take the leadership role in this and pushing back? And where are the adults? Where are the coaches? Where are the teachers? Where are the parents?
Well, here, the final thought that I will tell you on this is the only way I can figure this is they being the Democrats, have, since I've been here for 3.5 years, have tried to divide this country. They've tried to make everybody resent each other. They've tried to push a certain agenda on other people, and they are trying to make people hate each other. I don't know why they're doing that. Instead of bringing people together, they want to introduce hate in everything. And what better way to do it than sports, because it affects so many people. And so to me, that's what they did. They went out and attacked. Now, the problem is you have so many people in leadership roles that really are not really good leaders. And when they're approached with something like these girls that just walked off the shot put ring and said, listen, we're not going to do this because it's not fair. We can't compete against this guy. They're the ones that get suspended. They're the ones that get punished. Instead of saying, listen, we're not going to allow this to happen. You have to stand up for what's right in this country. That's what this has made this country great. But the lower tier leaders in our country that should be really stepping out, which is education, should be stepping up out and saying, listen, this is not going to happen. We're going to allow fairness. We're going to allow it to be safe, and we're going to protect people that want to do it the right way. But unfortunately, as we've talked about, it all goes back, whether it's the president of the United States or whether it's an athletic director in an elementary school or high school or a principal, you have to have somebody that will make a decision that's right by the Constitution and for the people, the taxpayers and the citizens of this country. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen in the United States of America anymore.
Yeah, I mean, these kids have more courage in their little finger than most of our so-called leaders do. Present company excluded, of course. The left is all about divide and conquer. That's what all of this is about. And on this particular issue, I mean, you are so wonderful in the Senate, Coach, but on this particular issue, you have had such a long and distinguished career on the field and in coaching. This is why your voice and leadership are so important on this. And that's why girls and women trying to compete these days owe you a huge debt of gratitude. And I know you're not going to let them down. You're going to continue to fight on this, right?
We're not going to let up. And again, we're going to push this. This is going to be one of the biggest topics in the election coming up, whether it's state whether it's local, whether it's county, or whether it's national. This will and should be one of the biggest topics of every campaign across the country. I know President Trump is stepping out there against this. I know we have a lot of leaders that's running in the Senate and the House on this situation, but we have to bring back common sense and reality to our educational field. As I told you, I ran because I saw how bad our education was, is, and how it's headed in the wrong direction. This is one of the main things that we have to get straight, or we can't correct what direction this great country is going in, which is not going in a very good direction as we speak.
Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, check him out on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Sen Tuberville. Coach, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, Mona. God bless.
You too. Okay, guys, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me today and this week for really, really important shows about the true nature of what is going on in the U.S., in your community, and the broader West. It's only going to get worse, so you got to be prepared for it. You got to know what's going on so you can educate people around you. Also, please tell everybody you know about this show so they are as equally as informed as you are. The Monica Crowley Podcast, please tell friends, family, colleagues, people on the street that they should be listening to this show. So grateful for you guys. Grateful for our tremendous sponsors. Please check them out. And I want you guys to have a wonderful weekend with those you love, and I will see you right back here next week. This episode of the Monica Crowley Podcast was produced by Behakel Entertainment, LLC.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.